Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to Judd's Hockey Show. For those of you watching live, we appreciate it. For those of you tuning in to the podcast or watching later on, we appreciate that as well. Zolgad and Declan Goff. Well, Declan, we didn't really anticipate doing a show at this hour, no. But, you know, I had forgotten. I got a note from a guy on Twitter last night saying from him, I seem to recall that the Golden Knights expansion list leaked out way before the actual show they did a few years back when Vegas came in the league. And I said, I just don't recall. Well, whoever you were on Twitter, you were right. It leaks out because we have all types of leaks about what the Kraken have done as far as shaping their roster. Now, there's going to be a show on ESPN2, I believe it is, tonight at 7 p.m. Central Time to talk about this. But clearly, everyone will essentially know what has happened. And let's get, Declan, to the headline of the day involving the Minnesota Wild. And that is they have lost another defenseman. Not a big surprise here. Carson Soucy goes to the Kraken. It looks like there was some thought yesterday that Kaapo Kakkonen might be the Kraken selection as a goaltender, but they already have taken three of those. So they're out on Kaapo Kakkonen. So the Wild does not lose the backup to Cam Talbot, but they do lose a valuable defenseman. And before I turn it over to you, let me just give the depth chart, because the depth chart for the Wild, which defensively was very, very good at the end of the season, is a little bit more barren now. Jarrett Spurgeon, Jonas Brodin, Matthew Dumba, who, by the way, has now survived after we all were trying to trade him for like 2 years. He becomes an instrumental part of the blue line. Kalen Addison definitely going to vie for a job, and I think he'll win one. Brennan Minnell looks like a guy who very well could win a job. And we expect Ian Cole now, especially with cap space cleared out for 2021-22. Ian Cole, the veteran defenseman who the Wild got from Colorado last year in a trade and played very effectively, certainly provided some stabilizing influence on the blue line playing alongside Soucy. He's a free agent, but he is likely back. So the Wild has Bill Guerin has some work to do defensively. I will say this. It looks like there's no side deals this time, Declan.
Nope.
It looks like there's no wink winks. You take this guy not to take that guy.
Yep.
It looks like this is straight up. We were going to lose a good player. We've lost a good player. If you're Bill Guerin, you're saying this. And we'll begin the work from there. But nothing. There's no Alex Tuck component to this, which I at least like a lot.
Yeah, that part is nice. And obviously, you know, we will figure out if those trades went down when the show airs on ESPN later this evening. You know, there's a trade freeze going on right now. So those could still potentially happen down the road. But these leaks are coming out, and it looks like the Wild will be losing Carson Soucy. You know, it was between him and Kaapo Kakkonen. And judging by what Seattle did, and it sounds like right away they prioritized goaltending. They have taken Chris Dreiger from the Florida Panthers, Vanecek from, I believe, the Capitals, and Decord from the Ottawa Senators. So they actually have three goalies right now that they have already selected. So Kaapo Kakkonen is not going to be one of them. Carson Soucy is who they're going to go with. And it looks like, to be honest, they're going defense heavy. And they're also going cost effective heavy. So the Wild from this, for the Wild side, though, this is, I think, good news. I would have rather kept Kaapo Kakkonen over Carson Soucy. Now, this will create a problem, and we're going to get into that here in a little bit. But I actually think either having Kaapo Kakkonen, number one, as just the backup and the insurance plan and potentially your long-term goaltender for the Wild is a good thing. And it potentially could still get you something in a trade if you want to explore that route. We talked about Jack Eichel yesterday on Mackey and Judd, which you can find right here on our Score North YouTube page. We're still pumping out Wild conversation, Twins conversation, Wolves. There's plenty of stuff right here. Hit that subscribe button if you want daily Minnesota sports entertainment. But Kaapo also gives you another trade chip potentially if you want to explore that route. So Carson Soucy's a loss. They're going to have to fill that out. We're going to get into that in just a little bit. But I don't think this is the end of the world from the Wild side. Like you said, from the Vegas draft 4 years ago, you had to make the backdoor deal just to protect Dumba and Brodin. You lost Alex Tuck, who's now is a superstar and lost for the Vegas Golden Knights. This is, I think, as expected for the Wild so far in the expansion draft with the Seattle Kraken.
Yeah, this is the guy that I was pretty sure the last couple of weeks in Soucy that they would take. They took him. two thoughts about what the Kraken are doing and their new GM, Ron Francis, who was the GM in Carolina before he was fired from that job. One is it appears that they are not going to necessarily chase the Golden Knights model of being really good right away. Now, they're putting together a nice team, but there was some thought of, despite the injury concerns, would they take Carey Price from the Canadiens? Now, Carey Price, to be clear about this, was the one that went to the Canadiens and said, don't protect me. I've got a knee problem. I've got a hip problem. And he is due to be examined in New York tomorrow. Could miss a substantial amount of time next season. But he's from, and I think his wife is from British Columbia. Going to Seattle would have made sense as far as a face of the franchise type of guy. That clearly is not going to happen. From the Blues, of course, Tarasenko was exposed. And there was some thought that they might go after a guy like Tarasenko, who's a veteran guy who's been hurt a lot, but when he's not hurt, he's outstanding. They are not going to do that. I believe they actually engaged in discussions because they could with Gabriel Landeskog, the free agent from Colorado, who thinks he's going to get about $10 million per year, which I don't think he's going to. He's a really good player, but he's not that good. And so it sounds like that broke down. So I think Seattle is trying to build more of what you would consider not to be a bad team, but more of an expansion team. And they were also, to go back to the time period where they were going through expansion lists, what I read was that they were after in like exchange. So in like what the Golden Knights did well, if the Kraken was to do a team a favor, the Kraken was asking for a first round pick in return, which I don't think a lot of teams are going to be anxious to give up. So one, it seems like the Kraken is going a little bit more the expansion route of taking, like you said, Dex, defensive players. They might not be great right away, but as an expansion team, you have 2 or 3 years just to sort of pack the house and fans are excited. As far as the Wild goes, this is probably best case, right?
Yeah.
So if you lose Kaapo, you got to replace him. And I still think Kaapo might have an upside that far exceeds how long Cam Talbot's going to be the goaltender here. So I think it's twofold a win not to lose Kaapo. One is just for right now, it means that you don't have to go chase a goaltender in free agency, and that would probably be a veteran guy who wouldn't be here long and certainly wouldn't be your goaltender of the future. Now, the Wild does have some prospects in goal as well, which is fine. But Kaapo Kakkonen, to me, especially during that stretch where he played so well, showed something. And Cam Talbot's probably going to be a short-term guy here, which is fine because he was a very solid goaltender. But, you know, Soucy is a loss. He eats minutes, no question about that. He is, I think, turned himself into a steady player. Not a dynamic one. It hurts to lose him, but mm-hmm. if you had to go through the list of guys that you were going to lose in the expansion draft, he's a guy that can be replaced. I think now with the salary cap room that you've cleared with Suter and Parisi being gone, and I know this is going to bite you in the ass in a couple of years, but just for now, that was an extra, I think, $10.3 million. And I think ultimately now the Wild is dealing with something like $26 million plus in cap space. I think Ian Cole's back for sure. So now we go Spurgeon, Dumba, Brodin. I think Addison makes the opening night roster, no questions asked, unless he's terrible in camp, which I don't think he will be, mm-hmm. And Cole. So that's five right there. So you need a sixth, but I don't think this kills you. I do think it shows you one thing, though, Dex, that to me is so intriguing. And it goes back to what transpired a week ago Tuesday when Parisi and then shockingly Suter were bought out. This shows you how bad Bill Guerin wanted to purge Suter from this team. Like, think about this. Yeah. He is a very functional, at least top four, if not top two, but top four for sure defenseman. He can play a lot. I mean, just think about what this says about the dynamic of wanting to get not one, but both of those guys out of the room where you would create the space and be happier to bring back Ian Cole, who, look, I was impressed by him and I like him. There's no way he's on the same plane as a player as Suter is. So this just speaks volumes again, knowing that you probably were going to lose Soucy, as to how much of a feeling you felt that Ryan Suter had to be cleared out.
Yeah, this is Guerin changing the culture and changing the trajectory of this team. Clearing out Carson Soucy, too, by the way, now gives the Wild $29 million in cap space for this summer. So big moves are going to happen. Now, a lot of that's probably going to go to Kaprizov. A good chunk of that's going to go to Fiala. God willing, obviously, he's still on the roster, not used a trade chip. So there is plenty of cap space at play here. That does not mean that there's going to be crazy spending, but there's plenty of cap space at play. To answer your question about how much he wanted Suter off this team, yeah, Guerin, we've talked about this a million times, that he was a decorated player. He knew his role towards the end of his career, that his time was dwindling. How can I be a good locker room leader in that Penguins locker room, knowing that that's Sidney's team? You know, Guerin could have went in there with his pedigree and with his with everything he's accomplished, said, no, I'm still going to have this locker room by my hands, even though I've only been here for two seasons. No, he said, no, it's a Sidney's team. So what can I do to help either A, elevate Sidney, and also not make my game a train wreck? What can I do to help out this team on and off the ice? And he saw Ryan Suter and Zach Parise as that era is now ending. He wants to change this culture, and he wants to turn the page onto the next era of Wild hockey, and I don't blame him for that one bit. Ryan Suter and Zach Parise elevated this franchise. That's correct. It saved it from a marketing side. It was maybe the most genius thing they've ever done, but they had to go. And they're going to pay the piper here in for three seasons after this, and it's going to be lengthy, but your window to win a cup, in my opinion, is in the next three seasons. It's not 5 or 6 or 7 years down the road. Sorry, LeBron James. That doesn't really work here for hockey. Your window is to win it in the next 2 or 3 years and compete hard. And look, Vegas is still good. Colorado is still good. You're not necessarily, with this current roster as it's constructed right now, in the same conversation as Colorado and Vegas, but I think you're close if you get the right center in here. So this is the first, these are the tweaks, as Paul Fenton used to say, at Paul Fenton infamously said at his press conference. These are those tweaks are happening with now Carson Soucy now gone, and you're going to see what you're going to do with $29 million in cap space. So there's going to be a big move coming. But it's time for the next era in Wild hockey. And Carson Soucy now leaves in the expansion draft. You still keep Kaapo Kähkönen. Victor Rask will still most likely be on this team. We'll see what happens there. But I think it's just, it goes to show, yeah, that Bill Guerin wanted his stamp on this team, and he's creating it.
And this also, from the way that the Wild is conducting itself business-wise right now, hockey operations, this also speaks volumes to the fact that I think we can pretty much take our Vikings statement or our motto. No excuses.
Yep.
We could take that and transfer that to the 2021-22 Wild, because if you think about this now, this team is going to have, before you go into the potential salary cap hell of Parise and Suter in a couple of years, you're going to have, to what you just said, Dex, a ton of salary cap room to work with. You're going to be able to make a big deal. You're going to be able to take on a contract, at least short term, not long term, maybe, but short term. And you're going to be able to, and I say this with no smart ass intentions, pursue a Stanley Cup this coming season.
Yeah.
If you make the right moves, you can pursue a Stanley Cup. And look, this also hits on, and I'm sure that Guerin has talked about this with his hockey operations people, this also hits on a very important fact, and that's Kaprizov's not a young player. Kaprizov's in his prime. He is 20. He's going on 25. He's going to be in his prime. So this is not we hope he's going to improve. Certainly there's room for growth, but you are getting, as you saw for a lot of the season as he won the Calder last year, you're getting a player who is going to be on your first line and should be dominant in 21-22. And if you can get him a center, and you now have the room to do it for this coming season, if you can build this thing right, you are going to be in extremely good shape to not make the playoffs, but make a run at the Stanley Cup. And that window, because you keep saying it, and I agree, Dex, that window, which is wide open right now, actually is going to close a little bit more after 21-22.
Yeah.
Because it's going to get tougher.
Yep.
Because once those cap hits kick in for Parise and Suter and start to hurt you, you're going to have to trim. You're going to have to take away from your team. So I really think in a lot of ways, I can convince myself pretty easily that Bill Guerin is trying to build a team that can win a Stanley Cup in 1 year. Now, obviously the ideal thing is sustained success and championships, but really if you examine where the cap is going to go, and we're assuming right now it basically stays flat at $81.5 million for the coming seasons, the year that's coming is the year that the Wild is going to have, if they do this right, a fantastic chance. And if you now supplement the blue line correctly and bring guys in, and that's where, again, that's the damning thing about the Suter move. As a player on the ice, he should have been part of the stop process. Like, it's still a lot of money, but we've got this really good defenseman. And they thought, want no part, want more guys like Ian Cole. So, yeah, I think that this definitely puts us Wild-wise into no excuses mode. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in what could be perceived as a positive way. I think it puts a tremendous amount of pressure on this franchise to make a run and be damn good starting this fall.
It's the right pressure to have. I don't want to ever hear that, right? I don't want to ever, because I've heard it before. I don't want to hear, no, like, we have to wait because, you know, the cap hits are going up and we still don't have the number one center. We don't want to give up for Jack Eichel. Let's wait. That is seriously some serious Minnesota Twins blinders on with let's wait. Let's be patient. Let's not mortgage our farm. The time is now. Jack Eichel might not be it. I know you're out on that idea, but Jack Eichel might not be it. But once in a generation, centers don't come along like this. And this window right now the Wild have, they have to attack it right away. You can't wait 5 or 6 years down the road. You don't know where you're going to be. There could be a new coach. There could be a new GM. Kaprizov could be gone. Fiala could be traded. Rossi could be a bust. Boldy might not be. Like, you don't know what this is going to look like 6 years down. It's fun to always go down and just assume. You know, when you sign Parisi and Suter for 12 years, you're thinking, oh, this is going to be great for 12 years. It doesn't work like that. It's going to bite you in the butt. So you have to realize the window is right now. And the pressure is on. Like, if the Wild get off to a slow start, or they're the typical January swoon season where they're outside of the top eight by the new year, we're going to be pissed. And rightfully so, you should be pissed. You shouldn't say, all right, let's just punt and wait for next year. No, the pressure is to win it right now and compete right now. So there's pressure on Bill Guerin. I haven't seen him make a foolish move yet. I really like, of all the Guerin decisions he's made, I don't really look at one that I'm really puzzled by. You know, Fenton had the disaster decision to send Nino Niederreiter for Victor Rask. That was a terrible idea, but I've yet to see Bill Guerin make a big mistake. But the pressure is on him to make the next right move. And the next chess move he is going to make is going to probably define his tenure, Judd. Like, the next move he makes in this offseason is probably going to define it. If you're indeed finding that number one center. Not to go on another topic, but, like, I don't think Matt Dumba gets traded now. If you lost Soucy, I see no instance that Matt Dumba gets traded. Now you're just down to Brodin and Spurgeon. I mean, your defense has already now taken a hit with Suter gone, Soucy gone. Matt Dumba's on this team. That's just now, I think, a given. So the next move he makes trying to find this top line center is going to be the most important decision that Bill Guerin will make in his Wild tenure.
Yeah, I think there's two things that we're going to see in the coming months that are going to define Guerin. How quickly or how long of a contract, the term that he gets Kaprizov signed to, because that whole Kaprizov thing has to sort itself out here. And until he is signed, you can't necessarily completely dismiss the threat of him going back to Russia. We don't think he will, but it's still a threat. And if he signs him to a three-year contract and walks him into free agency, that's going to be perceived certainly as a move that the Kaprizov camp controlled. So I think that's a defining thing, fair or not, for Bill Guerin. And then you're exactly right. The center is huge. Now, here's why I'm more out on Eichel today than I was yesterday. You don't have time for him to get healthy. You need to win this coming season. Mm-hmm. Like it or not, this is your window. When you pulled the plug on Parisi and Suter, you are slowly but surely for a couple of years putting yourself in, I think it's 2 years down the road. You're in cap hell. Okay.
Yep.
I don't have time to trade for Eichel and get him well. Now, if he could step in training camp, which he can't do, he still has not had the surgery on his neck and he still might. I would feel totally different, but I don't have time for him to heal. And then, by the way, once he heals and comes back, it's going to take him a while to get back into game shape and to get back to being the superstar player that we know he can be. So this is why I think they definitely make a trade for a center. It'll probably be more like a guy like Dvorak from the Coyotes or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I think they definitely get a guy who they trust and who they like a lot and who is not perceived as an ace center. But they certainly hope that player can step in. But I don't think you have time to get Eichel healthy. Now, I did see that the Ducks and Kings both said, and this also might be posturing, that they're out on Eichel. Buffalo was asking, not surprisingly, for Drysdale or Trevor Zegras from the Ducks, who are just great players.
Yeah.
Great young players. I wouldn't trade them either. But that being said, the Ducks or Kings, I think, have more time. Because if they trade for Eichel, they're not great teams now. So he's got time to get healthy and ramp back up and then start playing again. I think there's an immediacy now that the Wild has set itself up for, Dex, that makes you far more, that makes you have to, it's imperative to get someone who can step in opening night of 2021-22 and make a difference. And the other guy that you've talked about that I think is becoming more and more plausible, and Bill Guerin and Dougie Wilson of the Sharks have done a lot of business, Thomas Hertl.
Yeah.
Like that one makes, because I think the perception, that's not the right word. I think the feeling on Hertl very correctly is he is a without question on the Wild number one center. Like there's no debate there. Yeah, it's not like, well, Eriksson-Ek's really good
too. He's 27. He's a decorated. Yeah. He's the number one. He's a number one center.
And it's going to cost you. Yep. Like that's going to cost you too. It's not going to cost you the Eichel price tag, which I think is ridiculous. But my point being is that's the type of move I could see because that's a guy who can step in opening night. And because you're right, like I know we always think it's a long season. You know, hockey's such a long season. You got plenty of time, but you really don't. And history has shown that if teams are in the playoffs or out at Thanksgiving, often that determines your fate.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving comes
quick,
pretty damn quick.
Quick.
So if that's what if that determines your fate, I don't think you can afford to be like, well, we'll be back in January. Now we'll be back in February. So that's why I guess I would go to like a Hertl trade, which will cost you a lot, but will give you a player who will return immediate dividends. And I don't think there's many, if any, questions there. I still have questions on Jack.
Yeah, no, Thomas Hertl would be, I mean, I would prefer Hertl over Eichel. 100%.
Okay.
It won't come cheap. You'd still have to give up probably multiple first round picks. Again, I dangle Kaapo Kakkonen to them. Sharks are going to rebuild. Sharks have to rebuild. They're not going to be good for a while. They're in cap hell as well.
Boldy or Rossi.
Yeah, and rightfully so. Yeah. I'm not just saying, hey, here's first round pick and a Kaapo Kakkonen, give us Thomas Hertl. Yep. And by the way, Hertl has a 3-team trade, so he has to approve this trade as well. This is not just a simple, hey, you have no clause in your deal, you're going to be moved. But San Jose is going to be bad for a long time. And as much as Thomas Hertl has claimed on the record how much he is San Jose hockey and loves San Jose and wants to be here, do you want to go through a 4-year rebuild, Thomas, and for the next 4 years with the Sharks being a disaster? Like, I'd rather he come here. And the other caveat is he's entering the last year of his contract, so you're going to have to pay him. Now, for the Wild side, that's good news right now because you can afford, you know, he's making like $5 million this year, which is a steal for what he produces. But you're going to have to give him $8 million a season over the next 4 or 5 years. He's going to want that. He deserves that. He's a very good center. He shoots a ton. He's an analytics darling. Like this would be, I'm literally now talking myself even more into Thomas Hertl. But you would get this guy, plug him in right away, and he would be your number one center. That would be the guy I would go after.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake is hosting the 2021 Land O'Lakes Legends Classic August 6th and 7th. See some of the greatest names in the history of women's golf as they compete in the inaugural Land O'Lakes Legends Classic presented by the Meadows at Mystic Lake. The Legends of the LPGA Tour is known for its fan-friendly environment with lots of opportunities for autographs, limited roping, and photo ops after the rounds. To learn more about the August 6th and 7th event, stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by the Shakopee Milwaukee Sioux community.
And look, I'm ordinarily not for trading prospects for guys who are going into the last season of their contracts. But if you look at where this team is right now, and if you look at the opportunity that's presenting itself, where you have a lot of cap room now and you won't in the future, here's my question. As much as we would like to see this team built up, and it needs to be, and Bill Guerin's done a really good job of, and it started with Fenton, to his credit too, with replenishing a farm system that Chuck Fletcher had left pretty much barren.
Yep.
With where this team stands cap-wise and how this is going to become sort of a dance, and you win a cup or you go to a cup, I don't think you're going to say, we shouldn't have done that, right? We shouldn't have made that deal. And it's not going to hurt your cause. I'm not saying this solves the problem, but it's not going to hurt you if you could call the Kaprizov camp and say, we got your center. It's Thomas.
He's
not going to be like, well, that's not good enough for me.
I took flack for that too, because people thought that when I said that, find your center and then go back to the Kaprizov negotiation table because it's only going to help you. That did not mean that I'm ignoring Kirill Kaprizov's needs. The need is to sign him. He's priority number one. He is priority number one. But sometimes you have to do the secondary things to achieve your primary objective, okay? And if you can find Thomas Hertl, or let's even say Jack Eichel or Christian Dvorak, whoever it is, and say, Kirill, here is the guy. Like, I know you maybe you might have trepidations on how this team is constructed right now. You know, you carried this team and you dragged them literally with some help here and there with your defense and goaltending, but you are the main cog. Rightfully so. You control the poker chips right now on this negotiation table. I get that. But here's your number one center. Here's Thomas Hertl for you to play with every day. You don't have to play with Ryan Hartman again. You know, you have a legitimate top center for you to play. Now let's get you signed. And also, if that means just 5 or 6 years, okay. I know the end goal, obviously the top goal is 8.
You'd throw a champagne party for 6 years.
Yeah, exactly. So like if it's going to be more than 5 at this point, I think it's extremely unlikely. So if you get Thomas Hertl, that's going to help the Kaprizov negotiations. If you get the number one center, whoever it is, it's only going to help it. I really do.
And if you're as good as you expect or anticipate that you could be with those components, guess what? It's going to become a much easier selling point to try and keep them if you're a Stanley Cup team. If you're a team that, and if there is traction there and if there's chemistry there, that's not going to fix the entire thing. But my point is if the Wild gets to where they want to go very, very soon here, the selling points are going to become easier. It's still going to come down to finances. I get that, but it's not going to hurt you. If Thomas Hertl can help get you to a Stanley Cup finals playing with Kaprizov, everyone's going to say, this was pretty fun. This team's really good. It's well run. It doesn't save them. It doesn't mean that they stay for sure, but it does mean you at least give them something to think about. Before we wrap up, let's talk about Kaprizov, because we talked about this on Mackie and Judd today, but we should probably address it here, Declan. So a couple weeks ago, Kevin Weeks, who has the same agent as Kaprizov has now, tweeted out that Kaprizov was in Moscow and that there was an offer from CSKA Moscow, a KHL team that Kaprizov had previously played with, and that Kaprizov might be talking to them back in Russia. It then quickly came out that, well, in fact, Kaprizov was back in Russia for a wedding. He obviously has family there, so like, don't panic that he's in Russia. And Bill Guerin told several people, including Judd's Hockey Show, that he really didn't think that Kevin Weeks' tweet was professional, the word. He basically thought it was a little bit of an overstatement, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's all fine. Pierre LeBrun, heavy hitter in trafficking information. If you were to equate him to football, on the, you know, the Schefters of the world,
he's extremely plugged in
baseball, Ken Rosenthal, he tweeted clearly after talking to the Kaprizov camp as well, that CSKA Moscow has an offer to Kaprizov. Now, KHL teams can't pay as much, obviously, as National Hockey League teams, but what they can do is work under the table deals. And LeBrun's feeling is that Kaprizov will re-sign here, but he basically said, don't dismiss the fact that there are things going on here and that there's a disagreement. And you just said this on the term of the contract, the Wild has offered 7 or 8 years. The Kaprizov camp has come back at 3, so they could literally walk Kirill into free agency and then give him his choice of teams, much like the whole Artemi Panarin thing played out. You put your concern on a scale of 1 to 10 at a 6, and I said a 5.
Which is rare.
Let me paint the question to you in this way, too, though, because I think it's very important that we think about the Wild in the actual window that exists. Because the whole cap thing is crazy. I mean, this whole cap thing is going to be crazy. How much does it change your opinion, though, that Kaprizov, let's say you bite the bullet, sign him 3-4 years. Worst case, 3 years, which you hate to do. But you get him back for next season. And again, there should be a run there. So how much does because you keep saying it, and it actually plays into Kaprizov doing a shorter-term deal, and I tend to agree with your philosophy here. This is not a wait for 5 years and Kirill Kaprizov and the Wild's going to win a Stanley Cup. This is literally a oh my God, you could win a Stanley Cup right now. And in fact, if you don't, like if you bust next year, it's almost as big as the Twins in 2021. It's a big bust. So how much does that change your opinion and feeling that we're not talking about in 7 years, it's going to be great?
I don't care about 7-8 years down the road.
If it's a
3 year, let's say it's a 3 year contract. You win the Stanley Cup in that first 3 years, Kirill walks at 27, goes in New York. I don't care. In fact, if that's a guarantee that I at least make a that I make the Stanley Cup in the next 3 seasons and Kirill only is signed here for 3 years, I'm taking that bet. I'm going to take that bet over the 5-year, 6-year contract and just say, now, but anything's at play. I'd rather take the bet that you go the Stanley Cup. Who knows what happens there? And if he gets you the Stanley Cup, Kirill, if you want to then get paid in New York or LA or wherever the hell, you want to go back to CSKA in Moscow, whatever the hell it is in KHL, hang out with Putin. I don't care. I do not care what you do. In these next Broadway. 3 years, if you bring us a Stanley Cup, that's all I care about. Yes, it's a great idea to have him for the rest of his Wild tenure. It'd be great for him to be the next Alexander Ovechkin and he spends his entire career here. I'm not really looking down the road here. I'm looking at championship window, and this team's championship window is open significantly, and they have an opportunity to do it. So if that means I have to sacrifice longer term from Kirill Kaprizov's contract, I'm all in on that. I'm absolutely all in on that. But it is a panic. My panic is at a 6, though. That's still high.
Now, is your panic at a 6 that he's not going to do a longer term deal or actually stay in Russia? Like
that he stays in Russia.
Yeah,
and I think the deal gets done. It's just yeah.
And the one thing that I will say for those completely dismissing the CSKA Moscow option, because he clearly wants to play in the National Hockey League. And the one thing I will say is, and I told you and Phil this morning as well, we don't know him well enough to truly know his intentions.
Sure.
Like on the surface, I agree. He's coming back here. That's on the surface. But we didn't really cover him. We watched him. Like, we don't know anything about him, really. He didn't talk a lot. And when he did, the rare occasions that he did Zooms, it was through an interpreter, which, again, just to be clear, I have no problem that an athlete uses an interpreter. Don't care. If they're good, I'll watch them no matter what. But we also didn't go in the locker room. We didn't ever talk to him. We really don't know him. And let's say he loves his parents a lot, or he loves, who knows? He's from there. So that's the one thing that I wouldn't completely say it's all smokescreen. I think it's a negotiating ploy. And I think the most important thing that we're going to learn about this is when Bill Guerin actually gets on a plane and goes to Russia, probably to sit down with Kirill and one-on-one hash this out. But I saw a message on the screen earlier, the last one before this one, which I think is in Russian, so I can't read it because I would need an interpreter for that. The last message on the screen before this basically said, if Kaprizov remains in Russia and plays for CSKA Moscow in the KHL here, his NHL career is essentially ruined forever, won't ever get what he wants here. I don't agree with that. If he stays there and plays out the string, so where the Wild loses rights and he wants to be a Ranger or a King, you think they wouldn't sign him in a heartbeat?
Yeah, I don't think it ruins his career necessarily, but I mean, it does damage him.
And it hurts the... Yeah. Right, but I mean, they'll still... Yeah. Like, if he plays 3 more years in Russia and it's like, okay, I'm a free agent now,
yep.
you think Mark Messier's old team ain't going to sign him? So, all right, unless something dramatically changes,
yep.
This will be our Judd's Hockey Show for today. Now, if something dramatically changes and we find out more, we will come back on.
Yep.
And as I said, the ESPN expansion show, the Seattle Kraken expansion show, is at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN2. So we will come back if something changes regarding the Wild. But for now, we know Carson Soucy has reportedly been taken by the Kraken, the Wild down another defenseman, and trades can resume with the rest of the league tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It could be a lot of fun. And if it does, we will be back for a Judd's Hockey Show if it involves the Wild. Then he's Declan. I'm Judd. Declan.
Pass, shoot, score.